Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We dream the same dream. We want the same thing, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. The Manchester Derby is here, and a West London Derby is too. It's Friday 1st of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Oh, it's Friday. Come on. Can you feel it, Luke Moore?
I can always feel it when I'm sat to your left hand, Marcus. As you well know, I'm very, very happy to be here. I'm very, very happy to be here with Andy as well, of course.
Yeah, I'm in the safe seat.
Really?
Yeah. We'll see.
Uh-huh.
We'll see.
Are there any safe seats in England these days, Andy?
<Are there? laughs>
We'll leave that there.
Yeah.
We will leave that there. This, ladies and gentlemen, is your final reminder to listen to the best of Ramble Uncut, which we released for you, dear people, on Monday. It's a showcase of some of our very favourite moments from the extended edition of the Football Ramble that we serve up for our Patreon subscribers every single Wednesday. Every single Wednesday.
So listen to it and get more of it on patreon.com/footballramble.
Yeah, love a bit of Nick Hewer at the end as well.
Naughty. And now we move to the Manchester Derby. Any more?
No.
I take requests, as you know. What are you mouthing at me?
Andy.
I'm not doing that one.
It's great to see. It's great to have every single impression Mark is capable of out the way in the first 2 minutes of the show, isn't it?
Well, I've only done about three.
That's what I'm... We're about 3 or 4 minutes away from a Billy Connolly and then we'll be done.
Who wants Begbie?
Everyone.
There we are. It's Manchester City versus Manchester United on Sunday. It's always a big one, Andy, the Manchester Derby. You cannot deny.
And Andy, if you listen very carefully, you can hear all the Manchester United fans that listen to this show hitting fast forward 15 seconds, 15 seconds till we get it done, because they're presumably absolutely shit in a brick, are they?
You'd have thought so, yes. The Premier League averaged 3.8 goals per match in February, which was the highest average across a month in Premier League history.
And
how about that?
In a leap, in a leap year February as well.
Incredible.
Unbelievable stuff.
Incredible.
It did feel like a very, very entertaining February. And it's not often you can find yourself saying that, is it?
Yeah.
February is a very nondescript month normally.
I mean, Valentine's Day and Keegan's birthday.
Same day. That is the same day.
Yeah,
literally.
But I mean, that's done doing a lot of heavy lifting for February.
Yeah, it's true.
Cup? You got a League Cup in there?
I do find myself actually around the 1st or 2nd of February coming into work on the train or whatever, and people are saying, you know, just a couple of weeks we can get to Kieran Keegan's birthday and then we'll all be happier.
Yeah.
February's a nondescript month, so it's good to see the Premier League, the Barclays, doing its bit cheer up the nation.
I think you've been a touch harsh on February because, as I say, there is the first silverware of the...
The League Cup final
in England, of course, in the top flight. You've got a lot of caveats there. So at Manchester City, they crushed Manchester United 3-0 in the season earlier in the season, of course, at Old Trafford. That was without Kevin De Bruyne. Andy, Manchester United must be quaking in their little shoes.
Well, has it got to the point where the Manchester derby is almost a free hit for them? Because everyone expects them to get absolutely battered in it because the quality difference is so different,
is
so vast between the two teams. So they're like, well, if we lose, it's what everyone expected and we can just get on with the rest of our season next week. And if we win, we get to really spoil it for City.
You are right. I don't think Manchester United will care if they lose this game, Andy.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was the takeaway from
exactly.
What you said,
that's exactly what I was saying.
Andy, that is pretty much what you said. Yeah. It's a free hit.
And we know it's what you're thinking.
Yeah. So do you agree with Andy that Manchester United should just phone it in and then if they get lucky, then
so
they
put the reserves out. Yeah.
First rule of football ramble, we'll never agree with Andy.
Yeah.
I like that Man United are in crisis mode to the point where someone's rung someone else up yesterday and gone, go do the Marcus Rashford Players Tribune article because we got the Manchester Derby this weekend and we need some different headlines. I think Andy is probably... I understand what Andy's getting at, but I think Man United fans will say, look, it's never a case that we can afford to write this kind of game off.
I'm not saying that's what the fans will think. Not even saying that's what the players will think. I'm just saying at the moment, nothing is expected of them.
That's true.
And actually, for the last however many derbies, you can go back to the one in the Amazon Prime season.
Ooh.
Where, you know, they stopped Guardiola's City winning it against them. You know, that we're so used to over it, not just a couple of years, but heading towards a decade of Manchester United just like becoming an irritant for them when they can.
Which is almost interestingly what it was like in the 90s, the other way around.
Yes, exactly.
But you're saying Man United are going to get relegated or something?
You never know.
All the way
not if they sign Sean Gosa.
Okay.
You are saying this about Man United, Andy, but they've won 7 of the last 8 games. Isn't it crazy how we talk about Man United in these terms?
Yes.
Yet their record on paper isn't that bad.
You know what?
It's not great, but it's not that bad.
No, but this is like the discussion. This is pretty much the exact discussion we had on OTC about Dortmund yesterday. Mm. Like the idea that because they have what would be a good run for a much smaller club, it's like, yeah, everything's probably fine.
Right, okay, I see what you mean.
It's just one result will make it blow up. And that Fulham result is obviously the one.
And they obviously followed that up with a narrow win against Forest in the Cup, which me and Pete covered earlier in the week. But Marcus, you were saying before the show that you think that old Eric Ten Hag isn't long for that job anyway.
Well, he's coming out with some funny stuff now. I mean, demanding that Fulham apologise after they posted a video on TikTok of Bruno Fernandes going to ground and then immediately getting back up during the game last weekend. That seems a bit odd. Did you see that video?
I did see the video and I did see that who posted it. So I've got a lot of takes on this.
There's other reasons why I think Ten Hag may not be there much
longer.
But we'll focus on this.
Imagine
for the
Man United board going, okay, fine, take your point, but have you seen the TikTok?
Yeah.
Because what Ten Hag said there was beyond the pale.
We're actually friends with the Fulham TikTok account.
What I find interesting is that it's weird when clubs try and be a fan account on social media.
Absolutely.
Like, they shouldn't be doing that. Like the pursuit of content and everything is all well and good. The pursuit of kind of extending your brand and your exposure around the world and all that good stuff. And social media can be very good for that. You have to understand that if you are an official football club account, I'm not digging out Fulham specifically because I think loads of clubs do it.
Yeah.
It looks poor. So that's point number one. Secondly, like Bruno Fernandes is a disgrace.
Yes.
I mean, his behaviour on the pitch is fucking terrible, generally speaking. And so I totally understand why people want to kind of send him up for that. And that video was bad. It looks bad. Mm. I mean, it may have been brilliantly edited or whatever, but he still did it. Mm. And it looks terrible. And then the final take from me is that for Ten Hag, as the manager of Manchester United, to feel like he has to comment on that kind of stuff,
yeah,
to me, at best, is very odd.
Yes.
And makes him look like he's fiddling while Rome burns, essentially.
Mm.
And at worst, is something that just gives him a mentality which is not big enough for the size of club he's managing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's very reasonable to say that clubs shouldn't be doing this, although I do wonder if football society outside this room actually feels that anymore. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, you know, I don't think there's any great public pushback over official football club channels doing that, which I think it's a bit.
But we're here to fight the good fight, though. We're the last bastion of what's decent
exactly
in the game.
We are. And when we can't get in front of a microphone to do it, why shouldn't Erik ten Hag? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he should be the last person.
You must have other stuff on, presumably, Erik.
He's got to be too big for that.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
Yeah. Well, and if he's asked about it, because people might say, yeah, but if someone asks it directly, then just bat it away.
So I haven't fucking seen it. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's easy enough.
You say TikTok, I'm too old, I don't know what that is.
Don't you just have a vision of him scrolling in his front room?
To be defending of him, perhaps he's thinking, you know, his default position is that he just wants to defend his players, whatever happens.
Well, I mean, right? He claimed that the Forest players were targeting Bruno Fernandes. I think he's worried that it highlights that Fernandes is play acting, basically, and so referees, it'll highlight it to referees, so he's trying to kind of
and that's fair. The targeting of players is the thing that is, you know, that kind of doesn't annoy me, but like, you've got to be very aware, if you've watched football as long as we all have, that, you know, never just completely ignore it whenever a manager says so and so player's being targeted. Good players are always targeted. Yeah. That's how it is. That's how the game goes. And good players, whether it's George Best in the 60s, Bruno Fernandes now. Wilfred Zaha at Palace. You can name endless players who have been targeted. It's a compliment to them because they're good players. And the best players find a way of dealing with it. And the referee's job is to ensure the safety of the players. Mm. Get on with the game other than that.
Yeah. Well, he should write to Pugmole if he's that bothered.
I think he should write. I mean, I think
imagine
generally
if he wrote to Pugmole about Fulham's TikTok account. That would be a low, wouldn't it?
I might write to Pugmole later.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like it's a dumb thing these days.
It's about time we sent them a letter.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'd, you know, change your name or something.
If the weekend is open.
There we are.
If Erik did write a letter to Pugmole about Fulham's TikTok activity, would he have to write the long URL into the letter?
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be difficult to do it in a traditional format, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd better to do an email, probably, because you can put a hyperlink in there.
There we are.
Yeah.
Well, we recommend an email, Erik, if you're listening. Now, but the reason why, that I think he's got to be careful is the whole Jadon Sancho business is ridiculous. But then there's this stuff about Marcus Rashford, of course. And Rashford, as you mentioned earlier, has written a piece in the Players' Tribune saying that his commitment to the club cannot be questioned. Now, it's very interesting that he's felt the need to do that, Andy, or the want, whether it was a need or a want. But there has been a few question marks about Rashford. Obviously, he was seen in clubs in Belfast not that long ago, out on the town, etc.
Bad clubs as well, to be fair. Make it clear, very, very poor clubs.
Well, that's
Belfast.
Subjective.
Man of the people, though, yeah, I think that says.
Man of the people, very much.
Could put it that way, yeah.
Yeah. So, Andy, what do you reckon to all this Marcus Rashford, Erik ten Hag, Manchester United stuff?
I think he has to be very careful about how he deals with this.
Ten Hag.
Yes, because the problem is, if you keep diminishing really valuable assets at a club of that size, it doesn't matter if you're right or not. You're going to end up going for it.
And that's my point when you said that, you know, I think I wonder how long he's got left at the club. I think he'll stay for the end of the season. I think it'd be madness to do that, but perhaps it's a crucial period these next few months and going into the summer.
If
he starts rubbing players up the wrong way and all that, it can quickly spread that.
And is it not a reflection of your work in the first place if you can't discipline them at source before it gets to this point?
Yeah, possibly.
I think it really is. I mean, we talked on OTC yesterday about Jadon Sancho is not in a good state. You cannot keep diminishing the value of these assets.
Mm.
And it's also, I mean, I would agree with that. I agree with all of that. But I'll just add over the top of it. It's all about, from the manager's point of view, it's about credit in the bank as well.
Yeah.
And it's all very well to be able to do what you want to do and take the fans along with you and take the club along with you when you're producing over and over again.
Mm.
Like Guardiola, for example, across the city, could survive pretty much bombing any player out because of the body of work he's got behind him.
That's
obviously,
right.
The obvious example would be Alex Ferguson as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we move on and we We are no one, whoever they are, is bigger than the club. You've got like an endless litany of players that you've fallen out with and had to get rid of one way or another, all of whom are big earners and big personalities. And in Rashford's case, it's even more indicative because he's a youth team player who's come through. You know, whatever
the
you,
fans would hate it.
They if, would, exactly.
If Rashford left.
And whatever you think about Rashford's form and his commitment and the way we interpret however his performances or his body language seem on the pitch as football fans, you know, he clearly loves Manchester United. I mean, no one's saying Marcus Rashford doesn't like Man United. Yeah. Obviously he does. And as Andy says, you've got to be very careful at how he works it out, because it feels to me that Ten Hag's only tactic is to, you know, crush a nut with a sledgehammer.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's not going to work forever.
And bring Anthony off the bench.
Yeah.
I think as well, you can't overlook the fact that Marcus Rashford transcends football. He's like a massively popular figure who affects the way that Manchester United have seen. Does that mean that he can get away with whatever on the pitch? No, I don't think it does. But I think it means that you've got to be prepared to work with it. I think that thing of saying, well, it's my way or the highway as a manager, it just doesn't work in modern football at the elite level. It just doesn't.
And as well with the fans, you know, having seen him as a boy, you know, coming to that side, and now he's, you know, how he's progressed through the ranks and so on. When they sold Danny Welbeck, now very different circumstances, of course,
but,
you know, totally different. Some of the fans at Manchester United were not happy about
it.
Even though I think a number of people understood why he left and why the club were willing to let him go. But the fact is that he was one of their players that came.
Respectfully, he was never anywhere near as good as Marcus Rashford.
Not in his day, no.
It's a good point. Fans love youth team players. They love academy players. Every club loves it.
Especially at Manchester United, though. It's
a tradition, right?
And especially when you look at what's happening up the road at Liverpool at the moment.
Ten Hag's 21 million school meal short of having any credit in the bank, and he needs to get cracking with that as soon as possible. My best advice to him would be,
win this game against Man City.
Yeah, and then get yourself down the school kitchen.
Yeah, and then take Rashford out to wings later.
And paint over that mural with one of your own face. Just try it.
I don't think you should try it.
Okay, fine. Don't try it. Don't do that. I think they'll get battered by Man City. If anyone wants the hot take from me on how the game's actually going to go, I think Man City will win and win well.
They're going to win well. Well, we will be chatting more about derbies and rivalries on the mailbag tomorrow, by the way, because we had a great question this week about what exactly makes a legendary rivalry in football. So make sure you listen to tomorrow's Ramble mailbag to hear our takes.
For example, you know, River Boca, Portsmouth, Southampton, Celtic Rangers, more Speller in Jack's Encyclopedia. That's becoming a really big rivalry now, isn't it?
It is. Hearts-Hibs.
Hearts-Hibs is another classic one,
We saw it on Wednesday night. Hearts drew 1-1 with Hibs. Lawrence Shankland scored the equalising penalty while he was waiting to take it. Some absolute scummers threw stuff at him, including a lighter, a bottle opener, AirPods.
That's a big one.
Can't be real.
AirPods must be a hooky pair.
Yeah, they're not real.
They're traceable, though, aren't they, T5?
No. Yeah, they're traceable, and they're worth a lot of money as well.
But after he scored, Andy, he had a pie thrown at him, which he caught and took a bite out of and then threw it back, which is quite stunning, really.
Yeah, the whole sequence, only an elite athlete could do that. The seeing it, the catch, the take it and the throw it back. It was just all in one move. He's like a gazelle.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Although, did you see on his Instagram, Lawrence Shankland rated it as 1 out of 10?
As a pie.
Yeah, but that's his own club's pies, because it was at Tynecastle.
Unless
they
brought it from home.
I think it was because it was from a Hibs hand.
From the Hibs section. Yeah, I think it's very dicey. Rating your own club's pies 1 out of 10. To me, it says, right, I'm off to Rangers in the summer.
Really? I've had a Hearts pie. I liked it. I'd be willing to have another one.
Could I just also just point out that it cracks me up that you've got top athletes all over the world who are very concerned, like almost pathologically concerned about what's going in their body, resubstances and PEDs. You know, you've got players, athletes refusing to take the COVID jab for all these different reasons because they don't want to, you know, fail drug tests and stuff. And Lawrence Shankland just takes a massive bite of pie. Could be anything in it.
Those Hearts pies, I'm telling you, 3 of your 5. Three of your five a day, at least.
And with 5 meats a day.
Look, while
lamb, pork, possibly some kind of mutton.
While we're not proliferating cliches about the Scottish Premiership, I must tell you that when I didn't at the match at an Edinburgh derby, which was Hibs Hearts, which was probably about a year and a half ago,
so
when Martin Boyle had just come back, of course, he came back, he found, like, just before midnight the day before the derby that he was qualified to play, having come back from the Middle East.
Yeah.
And he came on as sub and scored an equaliser in the derby. It was a brilliant story. But he said to us afterwards in the press room, he said, I was halfway through an absolutely massive mac and cheese when I got the text saying I'm qualified. So in his words, I nipped down to Asda to get a couple of bottles of water and a Yazoo.
And a Yazoo.
Nice.
Love that. You didn't have a pie at Easter Road, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Yeah. I was very disappointed. I was overruled. I wanted to try the Scotch pie. I was forced to share a sausage roll.
I love a Scotch pie.
Yeah.
I love the pies they do up there as well, which is like mac and cheese on top of the pie.
You can get what you want up there.
You get whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's a land of milk and honey up there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fantastic.
A land of milk and Yazoo.
What I would say as well is that, you know, yes, they take the piss out of Scottish football, and that is something we get criticised for. I've got two just very brief points on that, if I may. I don't think we take many leagues that seriously, to be perfectly honest. I never
take the piss out of Scottish football.
And secondly, Scottish people have famously, in my view, got the best sense of humour in the world, so I'm sure they'll take it on the chin.
I enjoy it.
No, I'm not.
That's naughty.
It's not. I genuinely believe that.
I enjoy Scottish football enormously.
Great. Me too.
There we are, everybody. Believe them if you want.
Yeah.
Now,
speaking of putting things in your body.
It was confirmed yesterday that Paul Pogba has been banned from football for 4 years after he tested positive for testosterone last year.
No one will notice. Maybe he still won't make the team.
Blimey, O'Reilly. I just, you know, in a statement he said, "Everything I've built in my professional career has been taken away from me." He played 162 minutes for Juventus last season and he's just played 51 minutes this season. It's a funny old one with Paul Pogba.
Really sad.
It's very sad. Is
it sad or is it? Well, is it something that he?
No, but whatever it can be interpreted as sad. Whatever your angle is, I think with Pogba, I never know what to think. At Manchester United, we remember that he would get pelters from certain sections of the media. Some of it was a little bit what you might call unhelpful.
For sure.
Some of it was justified.
Yeah,
I thought
for sure.
A player like Pogba, when he fancies it, just unbelievable. You know, obviously a World Cup winner. We know that he's won trophies in a number of places.
Amazing player. Unquestionably
just the
brilliant
attributes he has to be one of such a dominant midfield player and one of the greatest talents of his generation, and it just hasn't quite happened. Yes, he's had injuries, I understand that, but I just find it, when talking about Pogba, I find it difficult which angle to go for and who to believe and what to think.
But you can say something's objectively sad because he's a great talent and he's got probably, I mean, if the ban is upheld, which I don't necessarily know if it will be, and I'll come on to that in a minute, he's going to be 34-ish when he serves it.
He's 30 now.
He's 30 now, right. So that's sad, you know, possibly, you know, some of the most experienced, you know, potentially golden years of his career as a midfield player will be lost. And that is sad objectively. Mm-hmm. But when I say, well, is it actually that sad? What I mean by that is that you're a professional athlete at the very top level.
Yeah.
You know, we touched on this just a second ago. But as a general rule, you have to take ultimate and total responsibility for what goes in your body.
Yeah.
Now, you can say that you trust the staff around you and the professional medical staff at Juventus, et cetera, and that's all fine. But it's ultimately your responsibility. Right?
Well, rule number one, get a second opinion and trust in the Juventus medical staff.
Yeah, I just feel like I find it very, very hard. I mean, maybe because I like other sports like boxing and this stuff happens, you know, regularly all the time. And you just think, you've got so many nutritionists, so many people working dedicated to your professional sporting achievement. And you come up with this shit and I may be wrong. It may feel like he's been wronged in some way, and it may well be, as I was saying, talking about the 4-year ban. It may well be. I think the way the bans can work is if it's unintentional, the ban gets reduced if you can prove it was unintentional. So it may not be 4 years in the end.
Yeah,
and all said and done. So that's fine. Maybe it won't be 4 years, but you have to take ultimate responsibility. You really do. You have to know what's going into your body. Happened with Dillian White, the boxer, a while back. He said that he took a substance unintentionally because the year before it wasn't on the ban list and this year it was. Do your fucking admin then. Same with Conor Benn, you know, all this other stuff. so many boxes have been busted for it.
You know what?
And there's so many excuses all the time, and it's tiring to hear of all these excuses about why these professional athletes can't regulate what themselves goes into their own body.
No, sure, I think you have to have a bit of humanity when it comes to this Pogba situation, because regardless of what you think of his contributions or otherwise at Manchester United and the fact that it really hasn't worked since he's gone back to Juventus, and as you say, Marcus, that perception of he can be one of the absolute best in the world when he fancies it, in inverted commas. The fact is that the last 3 or 4 years that he has had on and off the pitch, you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. Mm. You know, I think his trust has been like just run roughshod over by people he should be able to really trust in. Yep. So you think of what's happened to him, like, you know, blackmail from family members, threats against his family. And then you look at this, it seems as if, like, because Juventus have like been very careful the whole way along to say, look, this is nothing to do with us. This is nothing to do with any medications that we've prescribed to him.
I saw that, yeah.
It seems that it's from, you know, someone who was a personal friend who he didn't feel Juventus were getting his body in the right place, so he took it into his own hands, and it was a friend in Miami, because obviously he spends a lot of time.
That's even more stupid then, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think you have to set that against the context of the fact that he's desperate.
Yeah, but you can
say, and he's had a couple of awful years. I'm not saying he's made a sensible decision. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying the way that he's been ground down psychologically in recent years, I think would lead a lot of people to make poor decisions. Now, the fact is, if this gets reduced, this ban, and he's been effectively banned for the best part of a year already, we're still talking about him not coming back. So, say they halve the ban, it probably means he comes back in 2025. But that still means his top-level career is over, because he's not played football at any sort of like level really at all for probably two and a half, three years by the time he comes back. So really, it's about him trying to piece it back together here. Like this idea of, well, if you get fat, if you test positive for drugs, you should be kicked out of the game and that's the end of it and zero tolerance. It's just a misunderstanding or an inability or a lack of desire to understand the nuance involved in this and all the other stuff that goes into people's lives. And shit, he has been through the mill.
No, I totally agree with that, and that's a fair contextual bit of information that you'd be a hard heart indeed to not feel sympathy for the things he's gone through. But my take is just that he would therefore need to make sure he's even more careful, and he needs to make sure he makes good quality decisions as often as possible. Because when you talk about, you know, the idea of PEDs being used or whatever it may be, you know, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people I think have a perception of professional athletes where it's just like, yeah, the old French term, you know, the old bread and water thing. It's just bread and water, and that's it. And that's the only way you can be sure. Obviously, they take supplements all the time. Obviously, in lots of different sports, there are loads of questionable substances that go into people's bodies.
Well, they push the boundaries,
which will be banned 1 year, but not banned the year before. I understand there's a lot of grey area there, but that's why you've got to be even more careful. That's why you've got the means financially and in terms of time to be really, really above board and beyond reproach and unimpeachable on this
but
stuff.
But footballers in general, they have to trust the team around them.
They do,
they trust them with their lives and their careers.
And you can say then there's a duty of care then for the club, whatever the club he's contracted in, to play their role in that. But you've just said that he's gone to Miami and taken some stuff off advice from a friend. It's an idiotic decision. Yes, you can contextualise it by saying that he's been through the mill and he's made and it's been tough for him, of course. But you're a professional athlete. You have to take responsibility for that. What I don't like is he says, oh, everything I've built has been taken away from me. That may well prove to be the case.
Yeah, but I suspect he's not just talking about this.
Well, fine. But extraordinary claims do require extraordinary evidence. And if someone's taken stuff away from you and you've had this done to you in a nefarious way without you even knowing about it, let's find the evidence for it.
Well, he's got his appeal for that, hasn't he?
Yeah, quite. And until then, we have to keep our powder dry. It's very, very hard, I think, for everyday people to get sympathy for top-level athletes who can't even regulate what goes into their own body. I mean, it's your ultimate responsibility. It can't get any more personal responsibility than that.
I think that's fair. And he's not the only former Manchester United man who's been banned recently, of course, because Cristiano Ronaldo's been banned for a match for provoking fans in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Big.
Do you blame Ronaldo for this? Do you have any sympathy for Ronaldo?
I'm happy to go on record right now, yeah, and you can hold me to this. I blame Cristiano Ronaldo for just about everything.
Right. Yeah. Brexit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, well, this
You're
is
telling
after...
me that him coming to England has given people who are of that political persuasion a good impression of Portuguese people.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think it has.
I know.
What I think's amazing is the man with the most bulletproof confidence in the world.
Me or Cristiano Ronaldo?
You can still get at him by simply going, Messi. Yeah.
I love that this is still happening. So for people who don't know...
No, it's the intonation. You have to go, Messi.
Yeah. Nice.
So he thinks it's in his head.
So Al Nassr beat their Saudi Pro League rivals, Al Shabab, of course, and Al Shabab supporters chanted Messi throughout the game. And then Ronaldo cupped his ear and then made a sort of weird gesture, as if he was like pulling his knob or something. Have you seen it? It's a weird gesture.
Yeah.
I don't think I've... Is he kind of grating it or is he pulling it out?
It's all very Sunday league football, isn't it?
It's a bit strange, but he's been fine.
Do you know what it looked like? It looked like my nine-month-old son in the bath.
A little bit. He's been fined 30,000 Saudi riyals, yeah, which is about nearly £6,500.
So that'll make him think twice, won't it?
He'll be able to afford it. But in a statement, he said, "I respect all clubs. The joy after the shot expresses strength and victory. And it is not shameful. We are used to it in Europe."
Whoever's dishonestly translated that, I salute you.
I was going to say, did Eric
Cantona...
What
did he actually say?
Did Eric Cantona...
Well, not that, because
it's
not English,
speech,
is it?
Yeah, so he's been banned for a game, which is... I'm just amazed that he's been banned for a game, that's all.
I think that's very, very... It's probably... I haven't looked at who they're playing, and I know nothing about Saudi football, but it might well be they're playing someone completely shit at home, and one game suits all parties, so that he's not been given favouritism.
Possibly.
I need to stick with my general line on this, which is just that I actually think that football players should be able to gesture back to fans.
Yeah.
No,
you can't do any gesture.
No, but to an extent, and look, maybe there's a cultural thing I'm not aware of there, and fair enough, I'm happy to be told differently on that. I'm not a huge expert in kind of Middle Eastern culture or anything, but I don't like the principle of like people taunting and teasing.
No, I do agree with that.
And not being able to get anything
should
back.
Should he be able to, you know, ring his bell?
Yeah, Johnny Westwood. Did a Johnny Westwood. But he's earning £177 million for being there, so I'm not sure £6,300 is going to do an awful lot to deter him next time.
Superb.
I mean, if I was him, I would do it every game.
Yeah.
If you get fined that much, you just go, "I haven't got any change."
Yeah, exactly. That's like it's like a tenner to him.
He'd have to write a check. Ronaldo needs to get his checkbook in order, because that's how he's
finding him
that.
He'll be like Rishi Sunak trying to pay for petrol.
Yeah, he will be waving his debit card around. He doesn't know where it's supposed to go. Do you remember that?
Do I put it in the exhaust pipe? Shut up, Rishi.
Rishi held it up against the plastic screen and the... Oh,
super,
my God.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was, in a way. Right, coming up in the second half, we've got Neil Morpay being a prat, c'est la vie. Sam Allardyce throwing his hat into the ring for the Chelsea job. And, oh, a Jack's encyclopedia to savour. See you in a moment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It's yours to go and win.
Not as ours, yeah.
Tell me, what did you say in that huddle right at the end?
None of your business.
Cheers, Jeff.
Welcome back to the Football Rumble, everybody. Lovely stuff. So, a West London derby is happening tomorrow in the Premier League. Brentford hosting Chelsea. In their last four meetings with Brentford, Chelsea have lost three times and drawn once. Tell you something, Andy, Brentford could bloody well do with a win.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Chelsea are successful enough to have bogey teams at the moment. Otherwise, you
might, be there all day.
You might say they are one. But we talked about this on Monday, didn't we, Marcus? On Monday night when we were doing Ramble Reacts at the back of Brentford's loss at West Ham. If there's an opportunity for Chelsea to get some points and calm everything down, I do feel this is it, just because so often, and I've seen a fair bit of Brentford this calendar year particularly, it feels that there are huge parts of matches in which they're really impressive and you can see what they're trying to do. Yeah. I never feel that they're going to get the result off the back of it, and they're normally not getting the result off the back of it as well. And they are in the thick of like a really quite awful, unforgiving run of fixtures at the moment. And I don't think it's unreasonable to say that they could genuinely be in the bottom three at the end of March. And weirdly, because of the level of how bad those fixtures are, how difficult those fixtures are. Mm-hmm. I think you look at this and it feels like they really, really, really need to win it.
Oh, yeah, I must win.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fixtures that you speak of, they're away to Arsenal. I mean, they are away to Burnley as well.
They've got Man United as well, haven't they?
And then they've got Man United at home. So,
forgive me.
Yeah, exactly. So the fixtures are, I mean, it's not too bad for
well,
Brentford.
Yeah, do you know what?
Well, you could argue they've done them in playing Manchester City twice in the space of a month, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could argue that, but, Andy, you could.
Yeah.
Just to expand on what Andy's saying, like, Brentford are in a position that they've not really been in since they got promoted to the Premier League, right?
I know what you mean.
I remember I was saying a few weeks ago, I looked it up, and it's very rare, if ever, have they been as low as this in the Premier League table in their entire time back in the Premier League.
Always
right?
kind of enjoying it, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Andy's right as far as that they just seem to be at a play the way they want to play, but only for short periods. They can't put it together across 90 minutes. And maybe that's because they've had key players missing for actually quite large parts of the season.
Yes.
Which will play a role. But then actually, do you know what? That kind of line of attack is a little bit irrelevant these days, because the amount of football that's being played, it's not at all unusual to see 7, 8, 9 players from both squads out. I mean, Chelsea have probably got more players unavailable this game than Brentford will have. So, I mean, that's just how it goes. But they are at home, and they are playing essentially a team that is, by every measure on the field, a dictionary definition, straight down the line, mid-table Premier League side.
Yeah.
That's basically all Chelsea are, right? We can talk about all the stuff around them, the money they've spent, the ownership, the gravity of news they pull in all the time because they're Chelsea, and this Chelsea team of the last 20 years has had a lot of stories around it. But on the pitch, they're a mid-table side. And that's what Brentford need to do to approach this. They need to go, look, we're playing a mid-table team and we're at home, so we need to fancy ourselves here. Regardless of the fact that Chelsea, you know, should be a lot better, regardless of the fact they're underachieving and that the manager's under pressure aside, on paper, there's nothing to fear from this Chelsea side. There really isn't. Mm-hmm. So if Brentford can approach it in that way, they can do a job. What I also find interesting is that we haven't really seen any great number of managerial changes in the Premier League this season.
No, we haven't.
All we've seen is Hodgson, Heckenbottom, and one other, forgive me, who is it, who are down the bottom as well? It was Steve Cooper.
Steve Cooper.
That's all we've seen,
really. And Forest haven't really benefited from that.
No, they haven't. Really. But last season we saw 14 sackings, I think.
Yeah.
So it might now be that owners start to really feel that they have to do something for teams that aren't doing what they should be doing. I'm not saying it should be Thomas Frank, because it won't be, but it could well be.
Mm-hmm. Are you predicting a flurry,
Pochettino? I think once one goes...
Pochettino might, what, before the end of the season?
I think it's possible.
But I wonder, you know what it's like when you're a high-profile manager like Pochettino, what you'll have in the contract? Even for FFP, it might not be.
Spent a billion quid on fucking money, yeah, but they just pay it. They just pay it monthly, don't they? Until the.
That one's not a problem.
Yeah, and like managerial sackings don't count for FFP anyway.
Oh, right. And also, yeah, of course, they don't.
They just take the money until they get another job done, and it's written off anyway.
Yeah, that's normally the case.
Yeah, of course. Sorry.
So I think I'm not saying he'll get sacked. I'm just saying it might be interesting to frame the question the other way. How bad do you think Chelsea need to be before they think about changing their manager?
Well, I think the FA Cup draw is keeping him alive, really. Because, of course...
They just had life and death against Leeds.
Yeah, they got through the Leeds game. And well, now they've got Leicester, it looks like, OK, Leicester are a really good team, and we have to respect that. Although their priority, you would have to presume, is still winning the championship. And that now is a little bit tighter than it was. It's looked like they were cruising for ages, and now those two successive defeats have changed it a little bit. Especially that high-profile one against Leeds. But I guess if you're looking at Pochettino and whether you want to stick with him, I mean, whether you think he's the right man long-term is a different question. But for the moment, there's still a route to Chelsea winning something and qualifying for Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Pochettino did say Chelsea are brave after they beat Leeds on Wednesday night.
Interesting choice of words.
Brave. Well, they're very brave.
I mean, they did, to defend him for a second, they did play, I thought, in quite a brave way. And they could have lost their bottle a little bit.
When you say playing in a brave way, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is they went out early to try and play out from the back, and they got caught out pretty early on and conceded.
Yeah.
And they still carried on doing it, and they won the game. And also, there is a bit of a siege mentality around Chelsea, as there can be quite a lot, actually, because of the profile of the club they are. I think the pressure comes in Chelsea's case from their league position, but also a more existential way, which is just that all these players that come in for big money, each one of them individually has got a huge amount of pressure on their head. You know, you're talking about a £210 million holding midfield duo.
Yeah.
You know, they have to play under that pressure all the time. Yeah. And the harder it gets because they're not getting the results they want, makes it more and more difficult. So I understand what he means by that, to be fair to him.
Sam Allardyce said on the radio that if the Chelsea job became available, he said, "I'll fly back from Dubai tomorrow for that."
Yeah, that's good to know.
Do you think that makes Pochettino even more determined, or Chelsea in general? Certainly the players would think, oh, blimey.
I think it's as irrelevant as Andy saying that he wants to be the new fucking bass player of Oasis. You know, no one's going to take any notice.
They did have an Andy playing bass before.
Andy, yeah, he did actually. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so
better guitar player than Noel Gallagher.
Well, he probably is. Yeah. He probably is, because he was in Ride before that and he played guitar then, didn't he? So he probably was. It's a good point. Mm. I'm just saying, my point is, the analogy is that it's just totally irrelevant.
Okay.
The idea that someone who is now living in the Middle East and spends all of his time phoning in opinions, quite literally, on TalkSport, could in some way be suitable for the Chelsea job, is a farce.
So, like, just...
Well,
just
you make me regret mentioning it. Yeah?
Just to clarify, like,
sorry for shooting the messenger.
In the unusual situation in which Oasis did reform, we've all seen the direction in which Noel Gallagher has taken the high-flying birds. Would you have me on scissors?
I'm not
that French lady that's in his band.
I don't know what you're
playing the scissors for Oasis.
I cannot answer that question when I'm in the same room as Marcus. That's disrespectful. You pointed that question at me when Marcus is sitting right there for you.
Yeah, I think.
I just know his answer will be a no.
Yeah, it will be absolutely a no.
I want to talk about Neil Maupay. He was interviewed this week about some of the Premier League's biggest wind-up moments, and he spoke about.
Oh, good. More content.
How about that?
Yeah.
And he spoke about his dart celebration at Spurs, and he. Talking about his own celebration, he went, "That's class, I can't lie. It would have been better had we won, but at their place in front of their fans, got all their players raging, that's goated. Just by throwing a dart, you didn't throw a dart, you threw nothing.
Imaginary dart. Yeah, yeah.
I got 11 players on toast. It was so easy. Football is a game and I'm trying to enjoy myself."
Is he 12?
I think so.
I don't think, but I hear this stuff, I just think footballers shouldn't, they just shouldn't be under pressure to do interviews.
I just think piss off.
Yeah.
I think, I hate that idea when somebody does something and someone responds, oh, I'm in your head rent free. I've got you on. Just shut up, you pathetic little...
But the point
no,
is...
No, let him finish. You pathetic little what?
Prick. Right, there we are. He also put Emmanuel Adebayor's celebration into the goated category.
The point is, we talked about... We talked about Eric Ten Hag before and why was he wading in on something with the Fulham social media thing. With the position that Brentford are in, I would not be that pleased about hearing it. It's fine for Morpay to be like an irritant to other teams.
Yeah, but it's cartoonish.
But this is just...
If I was Thomas Frank, I would say... If you're going to wind people on the pitch, that's fine, because some players do that, whatever. But don't make it into this, you know, absolute nonsense. Like it's as I say, it's cartoonish.
You're Neil Maupai, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love the fact that he's going on about how he had them all on toast. He
lost the game.
They lost, yes.
Lost the game.
The reason why you turned up, it didn't happen. You fool. You bloody fool.
Back in the day, there would be Uncle Albert about it. But back in the day, you'd be thinking, you know. You scored last time out and you lost again.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Yeah.
Focus on your game. Yeah.
Burnley versus Bournemouth will have to focus on their game because they're playing.
Well, that's a boring
against each
game,
other.
Isn't it?
Do you think? But Burnley are a story.
Yeah, because they're shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely shit. And they've got away with being shit because Sheffield United and Luton have taken all the exposure.
That's true. I mean, they've only beaten Luton, Sheffield United and bloody Fulham this season.
Was that at the Cottage?
It was.
Yeah, yeah. I remember.
They've taken
yeah.
4 points off Fulham this season. Ridiculous.
I know what's in the running order. Lovely stuff.
But then reports this week have said that Vincent Kompany retains the confidence of the Burnley hierarchy. Now, you said that hardly anybody's been sacked this season because you're statistically and factually correct there. Vincent Kompany is in one of those situations where if he got sacked, it wouldn't be a huge surprise. Do they get the so-called firefighter in Andy to do it? But Burnley, we've seen with Burnley, and we go back to the Sean Dyche era, where they went down under Sean Dyche.
Yes.
They kept him and they came back up. And they were so impressive last season in
they
the
were
Championship.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. So it's a tricky one for Burnley because is anybody going to come in and really help them to survive?
No. I think they're in a very delicate situation. They've got to be careful about how they play this.
I agree.
Because Vincent Kompany is extremely popular in the game.
He means Vincent Kompany, everybody.
It's massive. It's a massive part of it, Andy. I was going to say exactly the same thing.
If they bin him, I think they lose a lot of respect and it probably still doesn't keep them up when you look at the squad they've got.
And next season they're in...
There also has to be respect of the fact that he's still a young coach. He's still learning his craft. And Burnley have been through it before. Mm-hmm. They've been relegated and they've come back into the Premier League better than before. If you said to me that Burnley were in sort of lower mid-table in 4 years under Kompany, I would believe that. I think that's possible. I don't think this is a do or die season for them by
it's a
any
learning
stretch
experience
of the imagination.
For Kompany, yeah, and they think that they've got a manager who they could have for a few years, perhaps.
Yes, but I think that exactly. And he's someone who is not going to walk away at the first smell of trouble, because you think of when he was at Anderlecht before, a club where they've got an enormous history, enormous pressure. He got a lot of shit for his job there in the last year. And then when he walked away, I think people looked at it and it got a bit worse. I mean, it's got better now, but this is a couple of seasons later. And I think people realised that all the stick that he was getting, actually, it was the club and the players. It wasn't him. So I think Burnley don't want to put themselves in that position.
No, I think they'll keep him and then they'll see how they get on next season. Because if they came roaring back or put in a really good shift, you would think that they would be in good stead. To go up again. Company's a little bit more wiser about managing the Premier League with Burnley and so on and so forth. I think that's what they're banking on.
The only thing I'd add, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think there's a few things to add. One is that, you know, it really does show you how much of a favourable press you'll get if you're already a Premier League legend, right?
Possibly.
They've been, I think, notwithstanding all the stuff Andy said, which I don't think I disagree with in principle, they've been almost painfully naive at times. They've been very, very... almost inexcusably poor. They've got the same amount of points as Sheffield United, and the amount of coverage on Sheffield United and how bad they've been is huge. And they've obviously gone through another manager as well. Secondly, they also, I wonder if the fact they signed so many players means that it's been really tough for them, and whether that's something they need to look at next time they go through this whole dance again, if they do fly through the Championship next season, because they're going to be relegated, right? So if they do fly through the Championship next season, I wonder if they'll approach it slightly differently. And the third one is probably just the one thing I'd point out specifically would just be the goalkeeping situation.
Yeah.
I don't think James Travers has been that good. I think he's obviously had a really difficult time of it in recent weeks. They've got a decent goalkeeper on the bench they never seem to play. And I wonder if that just feeds into the naivety of it again. And I wonder whether, you know, there's lessons to be learned. But I don't actually think any lessons seem to have been learned in the second half of the season that they didn't.
So that's the concern.
In the first half of the season.
The concern is that if Company...
13 points is fucking turgid. It's terrible.
It is terrible. I think if Company... And that's where I think they will stick with him and they'll see how they get on next season. But the identity of the side, the way they play, it's not like you can see what they're doing. It's just not quite happening and they've just not quite got the quality. They look bereft of confidence.
Apart from at the Cottage.
Yeah. they look bereft of confidence and... I think they're struggling to find who they are. And we're all quite sure they're going to get relegated. So that's why I think next season, you think, right, what are they going to do? Because if they show signs of that again, I don't think Company will last very long. But if he gets them going again...
Be indicative of the growing gap between the Championship and the Premier League as well?
Possibly.
Though.
Maybe. I think it's difficult. And I know Bournemouth are in a slightly different situation. When you're a team that's trying to establish yourself in the Premier League, and you know you've not got big dreams of getting to Europe, at least not yet. What do? You try and appoint a philosophy coach. You know, you try and create a reason to be. And you know, there've been points this season where Andoni Iraola has been in massive trouble. He's uh-huh. been like close to the sack.
Start of the season
on a couple of uh-huh. occasions. So you have to make that decision. Are we going to stick with it, or is the reason just being in the Premier League? I think you have to try and look to build something. You have to try and look to build identity, because that's what makes good players come, and that's what makes you incrementally improve. If players think they're going to go to your club and develop. Now, uh-huh. obviously, Burnley are far further back in that process than Bournemouth, but that's the sort of thing that they're aiming to inch towards, isn't it?
They are indeed. Mm. They are indeed. It's a huge one, you have to say.
It is.
On Sunday at 1 p.m.
I probably will watch it now after all that. a bit unexcited when we first started talking about it, but I probably will watch it now.
Have we convinced you?
Yeah, you've sold it to me.
Right.
It's now time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payouts, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today we're building an Acca of four match odds 90 bets from across the weekend's football. We do it every week, guys. Andy, you're up first. Let us know what you've picked.
I have picked Aston Villa to win at Luton. It feels to me as if Villa are back on it. I think this would have been a very different prediction if we go back 2 or 3 weeks. But yeah, Villa are starting to find themselves again. And obviously Luton have had a tough week one way and another.
They have. And you've got 8 out of 17 of your selections correct so far. So you're over 50%, which I think is actually 50% and higher, I think is a pretty good barometer.
It's below 50%.
It's under 50%. And I think you've been absolutely shit. Villa to beat Luton at Kenilworth Road is Andy's pick. Yeah. You've got 8 out of 17, which by anyone's measure is not over 50%. Marcus.
I'm annoyed Andy pointed that out because I wanted you to get tweets.
I'll get tweets. Don't worry about that.
I'm going for Brentford to beat Chelsea.
Good man.
Come on. That's it.
And he's got 16 out of 26 correct, and that is definitely over 50%.
Definitely.
What's your reasoning for that? You just think that Chelsea are gonna carry on being a really, really kind of average mid-table side?
That Brentford, they're due a win. This is, as I say, it's a West London derby. They'll be up for it, and I think it's going to click for them.
Fair enough. So Brentford to beat Chelsea. Jim has picked the third game this week. He's not with us today, but he has had this to say.
For our Acca this week, I am going to go for Spurs to beat Crystal Palace at home on Saturday. You might think, is he trying to curse them again? I'll leave you to make your mind up on that. I'm going to go for Tottenham to beat Crystal Palace on Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe one.
He loves betting on Spurs, doesn't he?
I know he does, yeah. He only got 10 out of 25 correct. He might want to rethink his tactics. Because we are trying to raise money for charity, as I keep reminding him. My pick is Manchester City to beat Man United. I went big on it earlier in the show. I think most people will agree with me when they say that Man City are a miles better team than United. And obviously they're at home and they're going for the title.
Yeah.
Hard to see United getting anything out of this. But I think someone really, when a game this big comes up at the weekend,
I think so.
Someone's got to take it on. So I've gone for Man City to beat Manchester United. So in summary, Villa to win at Kenilworth Road, Brentford to beat Chelsea at home, Spurs to beat Palace at home, Man City to beat Man United at home. A £10 bet with that with Betfair returns £79.85. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. We've raised £590 already this season. Remember, this season with Betfair, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full as soon as that clock hits 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our ACCA every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook, T's and C's apply, 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Right, it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
It's Jack's encyclopedia, baby. I'm a little bit sad that I can't have a pop at Luke today.
You're hosting.
Yeah.
You've changed your tune, because earlier on when I asked you, you said you didn't want any of this smoke.
That's absolute nonsense.
I mean, you can still have a pop at him while you're hosting.
Yeah. Oh, don't you worry, Andy. Don't you worry.
The odds are stacked against me here.
I must say, that is a smashing blouse you're wearing.
the absolute Trump pack Supreme Court over there. I've got no hope.
Oh, I see.
We'll see how we go.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Because you may go full circle. I may start enjoying these compliments that you're giving me.
Before you start talking about favouritism, I've been given a Sports Direct pen. To participate,
it's a dig. Yeah. It's a dig. But I just wanted to the production staff, I said, look, I'm very sad that you've chosen me to host the game today.
Everyone's got to do their part.
Everyone's got to do their part.
I think
jury service for me.
What shouldn't happen, I don't think the reigning champion should ever host. I think that's a bullshit idea. If you're the champion, you're in the studio, you've got to play.
Well, I got chosen when I was the champion.
I know, and I didn't like that.
And it was an exhibition match.
And the listeners didn't like
Vish,
that.
And Vish got the hump and went off to India to watch the cricket.
For six weeks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
What a petty, petty man he is.
If Man United beat City this weekend, you watch him be back like a greyhound.
Yeah. Well, he stayed out another couple of weeks when Fulham won.
Yeah.
Old Trafford. Anyway, enough of the bollocks, everybody. Right. It's a simple game of categories. As you know, if you go too slow, we play Gary Neville's Goalgasm. Luke, you retained the lineal bet last week after an epic battle.
That was brilliant.
What was it? More with Jim, really, than myself.
It was with Jim, and the big round Klattenberg's yellow card.
Which was good. So we've got some lovely ones today, you'll be pleased to know. Very guessable, this one.
Okay.
Category number one, and I'm going to let the champ start. Luke
Moore. Thank you very much.
The 20 players who have made the most Premier League appearances for Manchester City.
Oh.
Luke Moore, far away.
Okay. Vinny Kompany.
Of course.
Joe Hart. Oh, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Hart's in there.
David Silva.
David Silva's in there.
Bernardo Silva.
You're going Bernardo, are you?
Yep.
You'd be right. It's a good start, this, everybody.
Kyle Walker.
He's in there, just about.
Sergio Aguero.
Of course he is.
Okay.
You've done well here, lads. You've got some big ones out the way.
I think Rodri will be in there by now.
Great shout. He's just in there, but great shout. Ooh, very well played.
Kevin, it's a confidence of a champion.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne. Got to be.
Of course he is. Loads of them in there.
This
is good stuff, everybody.
Ilkay Gundogan.
Just.
Pablo Zabaleta.
Oh. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
God, blimey, this is top stuff.
How many's left?
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So there's still a few.
You've let him filibuster there.
Yeah, okay. I've made a note of it. Don't worry.
Jesus. Okay.
It's Torres. Oh!
Yaya Toure.
It's correct.
Edison. Oh, you fucking bastard.
Back to more.
Come on.
Oh. Come on, son. Gonna have to.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been...
Gabriel Jesus.
Champ's got it.
That's a guess from nowhere.
When you blasphemed in your last one, I thought, should I just dig it?
Fernandinho.
Played
Andy. Come on, Andy. It's life and death for me, this.
Andy's got you on the ropes. Five more.
Five?
Yep.
Wow. Goodness me.
This is a great round, this.
Yeah. I'll have a little flyer at Raheem Sterling.
Well played, Tim.
Oh,
Andy
very
Brassel.
Good. Man, we're flying through these.
Andy Brassel, four to get.
I need to guess another one because he's going to get one. I need to think of another one.
John Stones.
Oh, you absolute slag. Yes! Come on!
The Luke Nation.
I feel
wild.
Like I earned that. You I did. Earned that.
Was good. Lads, that was really
well
good.
Played.
Stone's not in there. That's surprising.
Very well played. Micah Richards. You could have.
Wow. No way.
Richard Dunn, Sean Wright Phillips, and Sylvain Distan.
Oh,
Sylvain Distan.
Sylvain Distan, sorry, yeah. Huh. John Stones was two appearances away from being on the list, so he's very right, close, okay. But he wasn't quite in there.
I was just, for some reason, there's a lot of recency bias with that. I didn't really think about big players from back in the day.
Oh, and I've Alexander Kolarov, I should have said as well.
Wow.
Was in there as well. Sorry, missed
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the outcome of the round.
That was great, Jack's encyclopedia ring.
Stuff. Which goes to the champ, the lineal champ, I should say.
I'm very happy with that.
The big boy champ is me, obviously. Let's not forget that. That's the thing that really matters. But Luke Moore. The Luke Nation have started very
come
very
on,
well.
Everyone. I can feel the weight of them behind me.
Come on. What about the brass band? How are they going to respond to this one?
Zandy first this one, right?
I'm going to wish you both good luck for this. Now, as you know, I'm a big fan of Match of the Day, and I know you guys are as well. So I want you to name me every single presenter in the history of Match of the Day. And I'm looking for presenters, not pundits.
But even though they just presented it once, it counts.
Yes. So whoever has sat in the chair, welcome to Match of the Day. Joining us tonight, blah, 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 blah.
Jimmy Hill.
The Well, Andy started strongly.
Jimmy Hill's a really good guess.
And he's got one.
It's not a guess.
Well, it's a good answer then.
A big guess if I was 25.
Yeah.
Gary Lineker.
Yes, I think that was a more sensible place to start.
Des Lynam.
Big Des.
Great stuff, Andy. Good to hear the man's name mentioned, even though later on...
I was about to say, yeah.
A bit of a UK.
Mixed bag.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Who have I got? I'll go for Jermaine Genius.
He has done it.
Yeah, no, I remember it.
He has done it.
I didn't like it. That's why I remember it. Mark Chapman.
Yeah, an obvious one.
Yeah, good one.
Uh-huh.
How many are there in total?
There's 16 in total. Fuck, I should have said, sorry, yeah.
I'll go for...
Come on, who you got?
David Coleman.
Love that.
That's excellent.
Love that.
Gabby Logan.
Well played.
Oh, you bastard. Alex Scott.
Very well
remember,
played.
Remember, because the Gammons got pissed off, didn't they?
Alex Scott.
This is to stay in the fucking game, mate.
No, it's not. You still got to get one after this.
Stop talking.
Gerald Sinstat.
The commentator. No way. No way is he in vision.
Luke Moore, match point.
I've got two here.
You got match point.
I don't know. I'm not sure about either of them.
Come on, then.
David Icke. I'm sure he did it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sure he did it. And that was a great source of embarrassment for everyone.
This is utterly incredible moment on the football ramble. Who would have thought that David Icke would win Luke Moore the game? One could argue that David Icke has contributed yet more negativity to the football ramble with Luke Moore winning, but ultimately Luke Moore has won it on the answer of David Icke.
Can I just say, for the record, I also had my friend and an excellent broadcaster, Kelly Summers, in there, and I'm sure she did it because it was a massive thing on the old Instagram.
You could have had Kenneth Wolstenholme, whatever his name is.
Wolstenholme.
Thank you. Jason Mohammed, Bob Wilson, Dan Walker.
Oh yeah.
A big Frank Boff.
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
Let's be honest, we're never getting that. We're never getting
I'm amazed you got David Icke.
No, because it was like a big deal. A few years ago when he was doing this conspiracy theory stuff, people were saying, like on Twitter and stuff, ex-Match of the Day host.
Yeah.
So are you saying this is a victory for Icke Nation?
Well, I think that the Luke Nation, Luke, I hope none of your supporters are David Icke fans, but maybe an investigation.
We're a broad church.
but let's say for the record, David Icke is a massive shit. Okay. Just in case anybody's on
the great news for the fans of the Luke Nation is that I'm on holiday next week, so we have a couple of weeks of the belt yet.
Yeah,
so there we go.
There we are. He's holding on to it.
It's amazing.
You've got to say that Luke Moore has turned a corner on this game. He's doing very, very well. Every
how would you have done on those? Do you reckon, Marcus?
Oh, I'd have won, I think.
Yeah, it would be easy. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have got Icke. So
we can't know what the third one is because you're going to do it next time, probably.
Can't do it. I haven't even looked at it.
Okay, fine.
So is the integrity of the host
probably shouldn't do them next week if you've had access to the document all day.
I think that's fair to say.
But I'll be on holiday, so do what you want.
There we are. So Luke is still the lineal champion.
I'm fucking delighted. I can't. Yeah. I said to producer Finn a few weeks ago, if I could get one win between now and the end of the season, that'd be massive for me.
Yeah, it was quite pathetic when you said that. So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you've kind of upped it because you know need to achieve, not avoid failure. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and what am I doing?
You are.
I'm walking the walk.
You are walking the walk.
Yeah.
Made easy that I wasn't participating, but then you did beat me last week. You
exactly.
Know, so so there we are. But let's see if it's ultimately enough to climb up the table.
Starts to become a bit unfair, doesn't it? After a while. Well, please let me host.
There we are, everybody. Yeah, let's look at the league table, shall we? You know, I've proved my point.
I think you're proving all sorts of points right now.
I've proved lots of points, but it's just it's nice for the underdog to have a little.
I'll take your congratulations as implied.
Thank you. There we are, everybody, and thank you for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. Do join myself, Andy, and Luke tomorrow for the mailbag.
Oh yeah,
where we're answering your questions. Also follow us on that thing called X, which you'll find at twitter.com, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify as well. Big Eck will love it.
Yeah, you will.
It's Eck, isn't it, the guy in charge?
Yeah, Daniel Eck.
Daniel Eck.
Yeah.
Oh, Eck.
You met Alex McLeish. He's in charge of Spotify. What's Alex McLeish up to these days? He's actually in charge of Spotify.
He's the manager of Spotify. dearie me. Here we go. Thank you, Luke Ball.
Cheers.
Thank you, Andy Bradshaw.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you for the mailbag.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.